Welcome back to the Honest Marketing Podcast, where you learn proven strategies to grow your business without selling your soul. I'm your host, Travis Allbritton, and it's been a little while since I did a solo episode for you guys. So we've been having a lot of fun listening to really smart people talk about marketing and sales and entrepreneurship. And so I just wanted to record a quick solo episode since it's been a while to just talk through a couple of things that I'm noticing just in the grand scheme of things when it comes to marketing and trends and just things that I'm noticing in the zeitgeist of how people are thinking about marketing, especially when it comes to LinkedIn, when it comes to performance marketing, when it comes to brand awareness and all this kind of stuff. And some of those trends have been revealed, and we kind of talked about a couple of them in interviews here on the podcast recently, but I want to dig into specifically the things that I'm noticing so that you can think about how they affect you, your business, and your marketing strategy, and then also give you some updates on the podcast, because it's been a little while since we started this thing, and there's some changes coming, so I want to give you a heads up there. But first, let's just talk about a couple of things that I'm noticing when it comes to marketing and different companies' marketing approach as we get into kind of the second half of Q2 here in 2024. One of the things that I'm noticing is that companies are starting to shift more towards a balanced marketing approach. So instead of heavily relying on one particular marketing strategy, and they're just doubling down and tripling down because it's working right now, I'm seeing a lot of companies start to hedge and just like a well-balanced portfolio start to spread their investments around instead of just being in Bitcoin because it's, you know, skyrocketing. It's like, well, let's diversify. Let's do some stocks, do some ETFs, let's do some index funds, let's do, you know, some treasury bonds. And I'm seeing that with companies' marketing strategies as well. And the big thing that I'm noticing is a lot of focus or renewed focus on quote unquote brand awareness campaigns. So a brand awareness campaign is a little bit different than how a lot of people in the online space think about marketing and sales. So typically with marketing and sales online, you're building some type of sales funnel where you start at an awareness stage. You're trying to make people aware of the problem that they have, how your product or service solves that problem. You're educating them. And then at the bottom of that funnel, as it gets narrower and narrower towards the bottom, you convert a certain percentage of those people into clients or customers. And the whole model works because you can calculate how much it takes to pay to get somebody into the top of that funnel. And you can understand how much you earn from that person in profit at the bottom once they convert into a customer or a client. And as long as you're earning more than you're spending to acquire them, then hypothetically, you can just keep scaling that sucker to infinity and beyond. The problem with that, though, is there's a lot of variables that we don't take into account when it comes to building a sales funnel and really having predictable results. The big one is in our shifting LTV, especially if it's an earlier stage product or offer where you have an idea of what the lifetime value of someone is going to be able to calculate your lifetime profit from that person, to know your, you know, cost to acquire a new customer should be, or your CAC. But the big problem is the wild fluctuation in ads traffic. And there's a couple things coming up on the horizon that companies are kind of bracing themselves for. The first one is a cookieless future. So right now, if you go on a website that is GDPR compliant, meaning that they can do business in Europe without getting in trouble, then you'll notice these little cookie pop-ups at the bottom of a website when you go to a new website coming off of Google or Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever. And it says, do you want to accept cookies? Do you want to reject optional cookies? Do you want to, you know, customize your cookie settings? And that was not something we ever thought about or had to deal with before, right? What are cookies? Where's Cookie Monster? Why is he on the internet? A cookie is basically just a little tracker that attaches, I mean, it makes it sound like a parasite, and it kind of is, but it basically just allows platforms to see other things that you do on other websites. And so if you go to a website and they want to use cookies, that's because they want to monitor your activity on that website, match it to activities on other websites, and now advertisers can identify your spending patterns, websites you like to go to, and kind of build up a profile of who you are so that way they can more accurately retarget you for if you go to a website and then you go on Facebook and they're like, hey, you were just over at our website. Why don't you click back and go buy this thing? Or if you're trying to reach a new audience, now you have all these other indicators that can inform the kind of person you want to reach, and it can make your targeting smarter. So that's what cookies at a high level are designed to do, make targeting for advertisers more accurate by knowing more about you. But Google is going away from cookies, and the internet's kind of getting ready for this. They're kind of bracing for the day when finally it will get phased out and they won't have access to that level of detail on every single person in their audience, even if they don't have personally identifiable information on you. And so in order to balance out the lack of precision targeting that we saw with Facebook not too long ago, now it's coming to Google, brands and companies are starting to recognize we're going to have to basically fill our pipeline with people that are seeing much more of us. And so rather than one or two specifically targeted advertisements towards your ideal person, you're going to be targeting larger groups for your ads, and you're going to be ramping up the impressions. So that way people see more of you and you're able to break through the noise that way. And so the way this is kind of playing out and the strategies that companies are using to achieve these brand awareness campaigns are things like UGC or user-generated content and influencer marketing. So that's where a company partners with somebody who has a following online, or they're capturing videos, short-form videos, long-form videos, reviews from people that are using their products and services and promoting them to kind of capture the organic nature of social media and content creators, but do it in a more precise, strategic way. Seeing a lot of companies getting into content marketing pretty seriously, whether that's YouTube content or getting serious about their blog again, hosting webinars, live events online, those types of things, where the goal of those strategies is not necessarily to convert somebody in that session while they're on their phone, but it's simply to continue to bring awareness to people about who you are and what you do. Awareness versus performance. And the value of that is that you can really spend more time working with that person, educating them, being top of mind, and it has the same net effect of converting people into clients and customers. But because the targeting is not as big, and because you're able to lean into different mediums, you can be much more strategic about where you're putting your advertising budget, and you can find underpriced opportunities that might not have the conversion metrics that you're typically used to with Google Ads or Facebook Ads, but because you're getting the impressions and you're getting in front of people with the right message at the right time, over time, that momentum will build towards those sales conversions. And Adam Callinan, a couple episodes ago, talked about this with his first company, which is a direct-to-consumer product brand, and how with his new company, he's like, I'm not messing with performance marketing. I'm going to try and build this thing without paid ads. And the example that he gave is because they basically built their whole business off of Instagram and Facebook. And so they had put $1 into Instagram and they'd try and make $2 back. But then the problem is when Instagram goes up by 50% or 60%, or the audiences that you're using, those targeting parameters aren't available anymore because they make some kind of change on their end. Now your whole marketing plan is shot because you had one particular execution, one strategy you were really leaning into. And there are too many things outside of your control as a business owner and a marketer to be able to reliably see that as a path to growth in the future. And so one of the things that I'm noticing with a lot of smaller companies and bigger companies is a return to a more balanced marketing approach, where you certainly still have those, you know, pay-per-click campaigns and Facebook ads driving leads to the top of a sales funnel and tracking all those conversion rates. But that's not the only thing they're executing anymore. Now they're also mixing in these other strategies that feel more organic, are more about just increasing awareness, and in the long run, seeing that as a good balance for the promises, but then also the weaknesses of performance marketing. So think about your own marketing strategy. How much are you leaning into Facebook ads? How much are you leaning into Google to get traffic to your website, to your business? And consider how you can lean into maybe some more brand awareness style or content marketing campaigns to really balance that out for the future when some of these tracking mechanisms aren't going to be there anymore. And the efficacy or the effectiveness of those campaigns, their performance marketing campaigns, are going to go down significantly. The second thing that I'm noticing is that AI is here to stay. And that might seem like big, you know, like, of course, like everyone's talking about AI, everyone's using AI. It's all over the news. It's all over stocks. It's like a couple of years ago, if you wanted to have a really good stock valuation, you put the word blockchain in your company. And then, you know, right now it's AI. If you're doing anything in AI or AI chips or AI software or whatever, you're getting these massive evaluations, and companies are springing up because people see an opportunity to build on top of large language models like ChatGPT. But the problem is it still needs to catch up. It's here to stay, but it's still not yet at a place where it is truly effective on its own. And think about for yourself, the campaigns that you notice, the marketing campaigns that you notice, the social media posts that grab your attention, the call to action buttons that you actually click on. I'm willing to bet those are all still written and composed by a person. Sure, AI may have played some role in the process of that creation, but at the end of the day, the campaigns and the marketing that truly stands out, that's different, is not generated by AI. It just isn't. Because AI is intentionally designed to be vanilla. It's supposed to be the average answer. That if you asked ChatGPT 1,000 times the same question, and it thinks about what an average person with that knowledge base would say in response, that's what you're getting, right? So even as we start to get more deep into Midjourney and Sora, the new video AI creation tool, those are all just going to be tools that people that know what they're doing can use to maximize their productivity and or to make their work more efficient, but it's not replacing people. It's not replacing people that know marketing, that know sales. It's not replacing, you know, marketing agencies that have a track record of success. All it is a new fancy shiny object. It's a tool that can be useful if you use it in the right way. But just like a hammer can't be used to build an entire house, it's only good for driving in nails. AI is good for particular things. And if you can use it for those particular things, it can be a really great asset for you. But AI is not the silver bullet, the magic bullet to fix all your sales problems, all your marketing. And people are starting to figure this out. It's great for taking notes, for summarizing content. You know, you can attach an AI tool to your Zoom meetings and it'll send you like an updated summary of all the things that were talked about and the bullet points and the takeaways and things like that. Like, that's a really good use of AI. It's really good for generating some ideas if you get stuck, like, hey, I need a blog post to talk about X, Y, or Z. And then it gives you 10 different ideas or starting places. And so, you know, it's good for those types of tasks right now. And it's good for other things like cleaning up images or things like that. But again, the whole premise of AI is I'm going to give you the average answer that a person would give you. It's trying to predict the next logical word in a sequence of an answer in response to a question or a query. Like, that's how it's designed. That's how large language models work. And so you're not going to get fantastic results from something that is designed to be above average. It's just not going to work. And so if you want to get those above average results and you want to stand out from other people, AI can't be the whole execution. It can't be your whole strategy. You know, I'll always remember I was at Traffic and Conversions, which is a marketing conference in San Diego. And Frank Kern, who's a very well-known marketer online, was doing a talk. And he was talking about his Facebook ad strategy. And this is, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. But he had a particular format that worked for him and a style of editing the video and things like that. And they were seeing really good results. And then all of a sudden, their results just fell off a cliff. And they couldn't figure out why. But then they started to see other people doing ads that looked and sounded just like his. And the term is funnel hacking. So that's where you see somebody else's sales funnel that's working, and you basically just copy the format, copy the flow, don't reinvent the wheel, but then make it for your product instead of theirs. And so when he was the only one utilizing his particular editing style and strategy, the ads were performing because it stood out. It was different. But then once everyone else started copying him because they were working for him, they stopped working. Why? Because everyone's ads now looked the same. A more recent example is Alex Hormozi, who's built up quite an audience online talking about business, talking about marketing, talking about sales, talking about growth, and really speaking in entrepreneurship. And when he first started getting serious about content on YouTube, he had a very, very noticeably different style of closed captions. So short form videos on YouTube, on TikTok, on LinkedIn will often have the words, the captions that go along with the audio. So that way, if you're watching it without sound, or if you're a millennial and you just watch TV with captions on all the time, like we do in my house, then it's easier to consume and understand what you're hearing. And so he had a very particular way that he would do his captions to be drastically different than everyone else. But he has to refresh his style, his caption style, every few months because everyone starts copying it. They're like, oh, Alex does his captions like this, so I'm going to do them like that. There are even video clip softwares like Opus Clip that have presets based on styles that are popular, and they have one that's literally an Alex Hormozi captions preset. And so what happens? Everyone's videos start to look the same, and you no longer get the bump up, the improvement in performance by using that style or that particular editing method because everyone is doing it. It's now saturated as a strategy. Just going back to this concept of AI being a tool and not the answer. If you use AI as an end result creator, then your marketing, your sales collateral will look and sound just like everyone else's that's using that tool. It's inevitable because that's just how it works. And so see it as an opportunity for being more productive, for getting more things done, for jumpstarting your productivity and your brainstorming, but it is not here to replace you yet. Maybe some point in the future, it gets smarter than all of us put together. It's totally possible. But as of right now, it's not a replacement for your existing marketing team. If you're a marketer, your job is safe for a while, so you don't have to worry about that right now. So those are the two big trends that I'm seeing in the marketing space that I'm noticing, and just really thinking introspectively about myself and my own business and my strategy. How can I take these things that I'm observing and apply those learnings moving forward? Now, let's shift to the podcast. Talk about the Honest Marketing Podcast. This is like a little in-family update here. So a couple of things that you'll notice about the podcast moving forward and may have already noticed in the beginning of the year. This podcast is going to be interview heavy moving forward. So initially when I started, it was two interviews for every one solo episode where I would just kind of like get on and riff or talk about things that I'm learning or things that I'm observing. Then it went for one interview for every one solo episode. And now it's like one solo episode every 3 or 4 months. And that's just kind of like the rhythm that I've fallen into. And part of that is just because I love hosting conversations with people that are smarter than me. I love having guests on, picking their brains, learning from them, learning from their experience. And hopefully you do too. You know, I think for myself, and I think about the podcast that I really enjoy listening to, I go for the experience of what I'm hoping to get out of it. And while I trust the host and I'm attracted to listening or learning from a particular person versus other podcasts that are hosted by different people, what I really appreciate is their ability to curate expertise. So, you know, because I don't consider myself a quote unquote guru or marketing expert by any means, I'm simply just sharing the things I'm learning in real time. And if they're helpful for you, that's awesome. If they're not, you can throw them away and completely ignore them. And it doesn't affect me in my life. So we're just all here to learn together. And so I love being able to do that. I love being able to curate expertise for you guys. And I want to continue to do that moving forward. So you'll notice for the rest of the year, there's going to be a heavy emphasis on guest interviews, having experts on to talk about their particular area of expertise, their zone of genius, and all of us learning together. The other thing you're going to notice in the podcast is that you're going to start hearing ads on the audio version of the podcast. Now, why am I doing that? Why am I taking a podcast that currently is ad-free or previously was ad-free and now including advertisements in it? Well, number one, it allows me to fund the production for the podcast. So initially, when you invest in a marketing strategy, you put in some money to test it. You put in some money to invest in learning and making it go and getting some momentum. Then you eventually reach a point where it's starting to break even and become profitable. And now you can take some of those profits and reuse them or put them back into that machine to help it go faster. And so including advertisements in the podcast allows me to reinvest in not just the production of the podcast, continue to make content for you guys, but also in finding new people to reach out to and to engage with and to, you know, grow the audience of the podcast as a whole. And that's certainly advantageous and instrumental for me and my business purposes. You know, this podcast is content marketing for my podcast production agency. And so the more people that hear about me through the podcast, the higher likelihood that I'll get some more clients on the back end. Talking about a brand awareness campaign, that's what this podcast is. It's a brand awareness campaign. And so having advertisers sponsor the podcast allows me to invest in growing the podcast and making it more effective. Some of the ads you will hear directly from me. Others you'll hear from brands. The ads that come from me, I will only be promoting products that I actually have used, actually support or believe in what they're doing or believe it's valuable for you to hear about it. Some of them may be business related. Some of them more be like lifestyle related, you know? So when I think about business podcasts that talk about mattresses, it's like, what are you talking about? Mattress on a business podcast? That doesn't make sense. But everybody sleeps. Everybody needs a good mattress. This isn't turning it into an ad, by the way. If you hear a mattress ad on this podcast episode, it was not intentional. You know, when I really think about what is advertising for and what are sponsors for, it's to allow brands to connect with the people that they can serve and that they can help. And so if there's a product or a service that wants to sponsor the podcast and they have a really good product or they have a really good service that I want to make you guys aware of, then I'll talk about it. And so if you ever hear an ad from me, know it's something I personally endorse, that I'm not just doing it because they're trying to write me a check, but you will hear advertisements from other brands as well. If you don't want to listen to the ads, I totally understand. I pay for YouTube Premium, so I don't have to watch YouTube ads. So I get it. You can always skip them. Every podcast player has a 15 seconds forward or a 10 seconds forward button that you can press to skip over the ad to get back to the content. Or if you just want to set it and forget it, consume the podcast without having to worry about it, you can always consume the podcast on YouTube or YouTube Music because that version will remain ad-free. So it's only the audio version that goes out into Apple Podcasts or Spotify or those type places that will have the ads in them. The YouTube version will continue to be ad-free. And so if you want an ad-free version of the podcast, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel over there. But I just want to wrap up this episode by thanking you for being with me on this journey. It's been a year and 7 months, over a year and a half since we started the Honest Marketing Podcast. This is episode 61. And as I think back on the things that we've learned together, all the things that I've learned doing this podcast, this is my sixth or seventh podcast that I've hosted. It's been my favorite one so far. And a lot of that is to you guys and the feedback that you give me about things that you like, things that you want me to talk about in the future. And I really appreciate that and really don't take your attention for granted. So thank you for listening. And as always, be honest.